are desirous to be fed. So I'm going to ask that you would give your attention and that you would consider the message that's upon our brother's heart as Brother Jose would bring us the message this morning.
Thank you, Brother Adam, for opening service for me. And I thank you, all of you, for being here today. I do have a few comments, and the God has put in my heart. The last two times, Brother Joe has been preaching. He mentioned that there is a burden that we carry, being here and. Well, being able to seek what God wants to bring for you, and it is a burden. It brings me down a lot of times. But I'm really grateful that He did give me some words, and you know, I think the. I think what it is that God guides you through your life, and through your life, you experience all these things, and so it's like He lays them down right in front of you. It's for you to pay attention to those things, to take it or leave it. And I said it before, it doesn't matter how much that I study, I never come out the way that I thought. It's always different. Either I forget or the Spirit of the Lord, it guides you to a different thought. So, one way or another, what we have to say, what you're hearing today, is from the Lord. No doubt. But, and the main thing, I would say, the main thing is that you are here to hear perhaps a blessing for you today. Believe it or not, a lot of the times, whatever you went through the week, work, friends, relationship, or whatever, God is always with you. There's a scripture in the book of Matthew, I believe, 11:28. It's one of my favorite scriptures. That's why I remember. if we believe in Him, you know, His yoke is light. You know, He makes our burdens light, not too heavy. Life can be difficult. It doesn't have to be difficult. You make it difficult, perhaps. If we kept His word, life can be difficult. But with God in your heart, it's different. It's different. I know that, and it's short too. Life is short. Like right now. My left shoulder, I don't remember doing anything, and it's hurting so much. So I blame the weather. Could be the weather. I see Brother Gary was complaining about his shoulder too. So it's age, it's years going by. And so, but we still say it's the weather. So maybe we might get rain today. But life is short, and we are We are a time, a process to make things good, to make things better with God, to have a really good relationship with God. And so by doing that, by having that in you, you can go through anything, especially problems. What problems brings you down in life when things are going so well and just like that, something hits you in the head and knocks you out. It's like either in work or friends, anything can ruin your life. And so we need to be strong when those things happen. And always glory, give glory to God, not just when everything is going good, but when things going not so good, when things going the wrong way. And nothing is to blame him for those things, because one way or another, he's gonna teach us a lesson. Because as Christians, as humans, we fall. The way is long after you enter the gate by baptism. The straight and narrow path is long, and we're gonna run into obstacles. But we're get up, shake up the dust, and continue on. And don't give up. And that goes for me. That goes for me too. No matter what, you know, I was thinking this month, I think I preached for Sacrament Day, and today, and that's two times in a month, and I'm like, is that too much or is not enough? Am I pleasing God or not? I think you can please God in any way. Anything you do for him, for the community, for your brothers and sisters, you please God. And I think by doing his will, I believe that what it means by that is that, you know, he doesn't require too much. He gives you only so much. He doesn't give you too much that you cannot handle. He just gives you enough. And so if we do his will, he will be glorified. He will be happy for you because he loves you. As a child of him, he loves you. And he understands each other's heart. She understands each other's hearts. He can see our needs, our burdens, our troubles, the yes and no and why. You know, all he wants is that we humble ourselves and acknowledge that we are nothing. We are nothing. And humble yourself, and every time that you feel the need that you need to come to him, I believe that you can do it anywhere. You can, right there in the spot, when you feel that feeling is the Spirit talking to you. And so take advantage of that and get closer to God right in the spot. And so that's the love that he has for us. For his children, it's something that you cannot ignore it. But of course, we have a word. We have something up there that always, you know, throwing things on you, try to make divisions or divide you from God, from your brothers and sisters. Those are not things that just happen out of the now, neutral, natural, or out of the nowhere. It's the enemy. It's the enemy that is working on you. It's trying to separate you from the love of God. And so when those things come, you know, what is this? What is what Christ said, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. And those are the things you have to remember, that we are stronger. We are stronger. I have experienced those things. They discourage me. And I know that that doesn't come from God. Those things have come from the enemy. So knowing who you are and who you belong to, you have to fight. We are fighting every day. And so you can see my title, I will say, my sermon today. So how would you explain sin? How do you fight sin? How do you acknowledge sin? You know, sin is just something up there. If you remember what, I don't have the scripture, but when the rich man asked Christ, good master, you know, what I had to do to inherit eternal life. And Christ said it. See, why are you calling me good? There's no one good in this world. No one. That's including you and I. There's no one good in this world. We all sinners. We all commit up and downs, errors. I do it all the time. I do it all the time, and I ask God for forgiveness. I ask God to forgive me for my sins, for my shortcomings. And even that I don't hear his voice telling me, you are forgiven, I know him, and he knows me. He knows my heart. And our life is short, that perhaps one day I will get to see him, meet him. I hope, that's my hope. That's everybody's hope. That's everybody's hope. That's our anchor, that's our promise. That's what we're looking for. That's what we focus on. What's ahead of us? Not the back. The back is past. Whatever happened in the past, you are to forgive those things and just keep moving forward. The past is the past. Even if you go back, you can fix it. So instead of fixing it, just try to do things in a better way. Each day that we have, that we are able to wake up, it's a second chance for us to do better. I see it that way myself. And so, sin is gonna be everywhere. It's gonna be present. It's gonna always be next to you, tempting you. So it's just a fight that we have every day. And Isaiah 59:1-2, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. He is always right there. He's always ready to hear you when you pray. When you need help, he's always there to reach out to you, to stretch his hand to you. He's always there. And those are the Bible, the Book of Mormon, it's a pretty thick book. It's so full of words that if you run into them, it can lift you up right in the spot of the problem you're going through. But like this words right here, he's always right there. He's not ignoring you. All we need to do is have a little bit of time and get closer to him and talk to him, and he will hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and God, and your and our sins, your sins, have it hides your face. God hears His face from you when we do those things. We're living in days that sin is almost like something that like it starts very little, and by the things that are going on around the world, it gets bigger. It's like a like a charge, like a battery, like it sucks all the evil stuff that going around, and it just gets bigger and bigger. That's what a sense is today, that it's just like it's out of control. And so much that the world wants you to accept it. It even has a day of celebration. I'm not gonna say what is it, but it's up there. And it's not just one day, it's a whole month, 3 months, I don't remember. We celebrate sin these days. Those things are the things that separate us from God. Those things are the things that ruin His plan. But we are part of that plan. We are part of the plan. And all He has is you and I, that we may see the difference, that we may be like a light in the darkness. If we fail Him, well, that's just not going to be good. So He is counting. He's counting on you and I, because the signs are up there. They're everywhere. Christ can come in anytime. So just like He says, just like a thief in the night, we have to be ready for when that happens. And this picture right here is a gap of an example that I found out online. That is a symbol that it's like a gap that is in between us before we get to God. And how are you going to get there? In Isaiah 59, it reminds us that He's near. And so what we had to do to go across, we had to call upon His name. We had to come to Him. So that's a reminder that even that gap is big, you know what it said, that only through God, anything that is impossible for us, it's not impossible for God. He will make that happen. He will help you to get through to where He is. But how are you gonna explain to other people that sin is what is keeping us away from Him? So how are you gonna explain that? You know, right now you tell someone you're doing something wrong. You should not be doing that. And they don't take it serious. They just laugh. Other people, they're like, you still believe in that book? Yes, it's been quite a few hundreds of years since we had that promise, and Christ is not here yet. I can't promise you when He's going to be here, because not even Him knows when is the time. And for those people, churches, they believe that Christ is going to be here soon, we don't know. Some people take advantage of that, and they just for to gain take advantage of the people. It has happened a lot of times, but we don't know. What we have to do when we're still alive is we have to work our salvation. And that's what the scripture says. We have to work our salvation. we can either have quite a few years, we could have quite a few hours. Our faith you have to trust in that faith. We have to trust in that hope that we have in Christ. Just like the song that we sing, the woman of the well, that's another favorite scripture of mine. You know, the day's coming, he told her that you can pray to God anywhere. But the most important thing is that he told her, I am the living water. A water that you can drink without cost, without money. It's free for you and I to take it. He's given us the choice to choose whether you go with him or not. Yeah, the gap looks pretty away from, but through Christ, we can get there. Sin brings death and judgment. You know, what is the, sin is a, the pay of sin is death. That's what is the, you inherit if you follow, if you willing to do this, those things, that God will not like or accept from you. In Psalms 103, 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. The east and the west can never meet. This is how much God can forgive you. This is his forgiveness. As far as the east from the west, he has mercy, love. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. You know, a lot of the times, it's needed to step on people's toes, but it's needed. It's needed. Christ did the very same thing, and people did not like it because the truth hurts. The truth can trespass you like a knife through your body. The truth hurts. And when you know whatever word you heard is the truth, you don't like it. You don't like it. It makes you feel uncomfortable. But if you humble yourself and accept it, knowing that it's a sin, God will forgive you. His mercies are this big, as it says here, from the east to the west. It never ends. And he can remove any transgression from you. God forgave us totally. And not because he has to, but because he loves every each of us. And that is why it has to be done, this last sacrifice by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ coming and fulfill the sacrifice, that we may all be saved through him. And that is how you can go across, only to Jesus Christ. Will get to God. That is the only way. In Romans 6:1-7, it says, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. You're like, wait a minute, it's kind of confusing here. You know, God is not God of death, it's God of living. But remember, the sin separated us from God from the beginning, from the first sin that Adam and Eve committed. So yes, when we were baptized in Jesus Christ, before that we were dead. And no one knows it. No one knows it. So when we baptize in Christ, we are baptizing his death. But that, so that we can live as he did. Everything that he laid out in front of us, that's how it's going to be. We will be having a glorified body. That's amazing. That is the whole point. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism and death. So if you're not, I said it once and I said it again, if you're not baptized, and Jesus Christ, when the time comes that we arise, we will not be with him. And I don't think that is what you want. That's not what you want. That's not what we want. And it's not that you haven't heard it. You have heard it many times. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in a new life. Is it not that what we want? That's what we want for all of us, for you and I. That's what I want, and that's why I make this choice, being Catholic. We had a group in my work, and they were Catholics. And the special gifts that I was able to deliver to their rooms, to the big guys, it was whiskey, wine, beer, and all those things. So I asked myself, well, how did they skip the scripture that says that no drunkards will inherit the kingdom of God? How did they skip it? How did they ignore it? And so that's why God put this word in my sin is all over. In verses, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin no more. So while we do that, while we take that step, I'm sorry, you can't go back. You can't go back, you can't turn back. You have been washed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is how you are whiter than snow. Like the scripture said, he has washed your sins away. I have committed sins in the past, way, way, way in the past. But I know they've been washed. They're not any longer. I should not worry about those things because I'm a new creation. And it's a really good feeling, let me tell you. It's a good feeling being a new creation, being a child of God. For he that is dead is free from sin. This verse right here in Romans, it speaks the truth. And actually Romans 9:8-9, it can lead you out of the pit where you find yourself right now. Sin. It can take you out. I told one of my family members once, you know, you're trusting these people that are like around you, There's a scripture in the Bible that says the blind will lead the blind and the both will fall in the pit. He got really mad at me. Because he knows the scripture too. He knows it. And that's why it irritates him. Like it will irritate you and anybody else who have done those things and you are listening from the podium. And that's what, those are the things that irritate people. God is love, grace, but also we should fear him, because that is what we are working on. We work in our salvation that we may not have to experience his punishment, because it's going to be big. It's going to be big. And I don't think we want to find out how it's going to be. I don't even want to think about it. I want to be in his kingdom, not in the lake of fire, like the Book of Mormon says. So, how would you explain sin? Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have committed those things. Sin is a word that is so small but heavy. I'll read my comments here. It is a significant word for many that is ignored. It's ignored, and it's truly ignored. It's right in front of you, you just ignore it. You put it in the side, you just walk right over it. But whether we want to admit it or not, we are all sinners, and it's everywhere, it's all over us. In Mark 10:18, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God." This word denies sin. And instead it deny it is supported. And that's, you see it everywhere. I see it everywhere. It's just a bunch of sinful pleasures. It's all sinful pleasures. Sometimes we focus too much on those things instead of focusing on God. You're doing it without even thinking about it. That's the thing. But God has called us to a higher position, that we may not be partaker of those things. We all born into that sin from way back. You know, a lot of the times my brothers, they were, through their whole life, they were drinking and doing drugs. And I drink too, myself, in those days. Which, believe it or not, when I separated from them and I started coming to church, they were like coming to me with these words. "You should be like us. You should be like me and him. You should be drinking and smoking like we are. What are you doing up there? What am I doing here?" Those words, they came from them. Now, do you think that it was them or it was the enemy speaking through them, trying to discourage me and bring me back to them? But just like it says, you when you are baptized in Christ, you can't go back. You just have to keep moving forward. And I'm not saying perhaps those words that went into my mind right on the spot, but the Spirit of God did lead me to say no at whatever offers they have for me. And so you can do the same thing at whatever offers your friends have for you if you know that whatever it is, it's not good, and you know it's not good, and you should not be doing it. Don't be partaker of those things. You know, what the world has for you is not good. Because if you are part of the world, you're an enemy of God. That's what it says. You cannot be part of that family. We are part of the Christ family. That's who we are. And so this family, if we are united, we can support each other, that we may inherit the eternal life, just like it says in the scriptures, just like the, those are the words of Christ, the promise, that whoever believes in him, we will not be dismissed, we will not be lost. We will always be with him because he is the light, he is the vine. We have to remain in him. In John 3:1-6, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and saying to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher that come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He clarified right there to him, maybe perhaps even Nicodemus knew it. But Nicodemus saying to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That is which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. And that's what we did. That's what we did, each of us. We went into the waters, and we were born again of the Spirit. That we may have that what it says right there, the kingdom, to be with him in his kingdom of God. That is the promise that we have. So just like our friend, like our brother Nicodemus, there are so many up there that have the same question. How can we do that? So that's a very important question that he had. And so we can use it even today. And that answer that Christ gave him is a really good answer that we can maybe put, engrave it in our mind, hearts, and maybe share it with people. Only if you are baptized in water for the repentance of your sins, you can inherit the kingdom of God. So what's the word is repent. We need to repent. And Matthew 3:1-6, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching into the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye. I don't know if before John, they believe the repentance is by baptizing. I don't have the answer for you guys, but you know, in the New Testament, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. To inherit the kingdom of God, we had to repent. And Christ said it, being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so that is what this little small church believes and teach, that we have to be baptized to inherit the kingdom of God. And other people don't believe that. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea and all the region round about to Jordan, and they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. You know, it's amazing. It's a blessing that all these people do. They understand what he was doing when he called them, that you need to be repent and be washed, be baptized for your sins. So then those days, Jesus came to John and wanted to be baptized at him, but John was like, in his flesh, in his humanness, thinking that I need to be baptized of you, you're coming to me. But Jesus wanted to make an example for all of us that we will follow through the years, through the generations. And so that is what we do here. That's why we don't ask. It's just no other way. You have to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and receive the Holy Ghost by the laying hands, by those who have authority to do those things. Matthew 3:13, then came Jesus from Galilee to Jordan and to John to be baptized by him. Who was baptized with not having any sin. It was just a way that he was trying to told us, this is the way. This is the way. You know, even it amazed me what it says here in the Book of Mormon, something that even days, years before all this happened, that Lehi knew it, that was revealed by him, by the angel of God. Wherefore, all mankind were lost and lost and fallen of this day. That's what I was saying. And ever will be saved, they shall rely on his Redeemer. And he spoke also concerning a prophet which will come before the Messiah to prepare the way of the Lord. If you knew your Bible before the Book of Mormon, you knew what the Book of Mormon was talking about, and that's what amazed me. Like, wait a minute, I have read this before. What is he talking about here? He's talking about Christ. It will come. How did they know even way back then when it had to wait years and years? This is like the 600 BC. These things happened. That this prophesied, Lehi heard this from the angel of God. It's just amazing. And he spoke also concerning a prophet which should come before the Messiah to prepare the way of the Lord. Yeah, even he should go forth and cry into the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. For there stands one among you whom you know not, and he is mightier than I, whose shoes latches I'm not worthy to unloose. And a much speak of my father concerning these things, and my father says that he shall baptize and Bethabara beyond Jordan. And he also spoke that he shall baptize with water, yeah, even that he shall baptize the Messiah with water. He's talking about John. And other that he had baptized, after he had baptized the Messiah with water, he shall behold and bear record that he had baptized the Lamb of God, which should take away the sins of the world. Even in those days, they knew the promise, how, the way and how to be free of sin. Even in those days, so they were looking forward through years, even back before the New Testament. And so it explains it in a way that is so simple. It was simple for me. Because I, through the time, I never read the Bible. I pick it up here and there, but I never knew it. And I still don't know. I haven't read the whole thing. But I have read the same words. And when you read the Book of Mormon and read those, you're like, you know, the Spirit is giving you the understanding, you know who they're talking about. So Jesus is offering you the chance to inherit eternal life with Him. In Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor age, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is the way and the life. He is the only one that you can be saved." In 2 Nephi 13:14-17, "And the Father said, repent ye, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came into me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore follow me and do these things which you have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if you shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrites and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon the name of Christ by baptizing, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water according to his word, behold, then shall you receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then come the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and then can you speak with the tongue of angels and shall praise unto the Holy One of Israel." You know, I can say, and I can put you on the spot right now, if you want to do these things, can you step forward, or can you lift your hand if you want to make this step, do these things, but you know what? It's not after me. And I'm not, it's something that cannot be forced. The Spirit of the Lord will work on you, and He will lead you on those things that you need to do, because you have heard it, and you can't ignore it. He's calling you. He's calling us. And either once you accept him, you cannot deny him. That is this the whole thing. That is our hope and that we have the anchor, the whatever. That anything can separate us from him. Even the sin is everywhere. Anywhere you go, he is always right next to you. But guess what? You have Christ, something bigger than sin, that is always right next to you, ready to reach out, ready for when you call. And I don't care if sin is everywhere, God will continue working in each of us that are here right now, because you are here because God touched your heart that you should be here, and that's why he's always working us. Satan's always working too. He will keep calling people to do his work, because he's counting on us. We will continue to be like a light in this world, like the salt, like a good example to those who are lost. You know, a lot of times we were, my last sermon was the, why is it God always takes, you know, the good ones? But it's because the other ones are not ready. And so what do we have to do? We have work to do. There's a lot of brothers and sisters that are lost, wandering around. And we are here to provide the help that God has called you to do, to witness Him. You know, so we have to share those thoughts, those happy ways. I don't know how to explain it. For them to find the truth, for them to find a way, we have to share what we know. Put your talents to work. And you don't have to be extreme, but God will give you the special words that you should say right on the spot. I heard this from one of those people that were there in the hotel, and she was like, by the way, that's not me, okay? Rebecca thought it was me, but that's not me. He is from Michoacán. He is from the same state where I'm from. So he's a Michoacano, maybe that's perhaps. But his name is Jose. Has the same name, Jose. And to make the shorter, because I'm running out of time, in the days of revolution, in the 1900s, I believe, there was a persecution, and the governor was persecuting Christians, I believe, or Catholics. And this kid is considered a saint in the Catholic Church, because even to the point that he was to be tortured and killed, he did not deny Jesus Christ. But he did not deny the Virgin Mary. And so because he did not deny that, even to the point that they killed him. They killed him. They shaved the bottom of his feet, and they made him walk for miles and miles to the cemetery where he was going to be killed. And so he was walking around with bleeding feet. And so he went through a lot. He was tortured. And so before they were ready to shoot him, they asked him to deny Jesus Christ, and he did not deny it. And so they start to beating him up and stabbing him and shot him and right there in the spot. And so because that, the Catholic Church make him a saint for all the heat there. And so that made me think about it. You know, that can be you and I. But can you take the heat? Can you take those punishments? We have it easy. We have it easy. We haven't gone through those moments. But even now, there are so many people that are going through the same situation in other countries. They've been persecuted for their beliefs. In 2 Corinthians 5:12, this is my last slice. For we coming not ourselves against and to you, but give you an occasion to glory in our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for you, your cause. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and arose again. You know, that's our, I wanted to tell her, you know, I know someone who went through the same thing, who suffered, who walked miles and miles up mountain, I don't know, to where he was crucified. I know him. And that is in whom my trust is. That is in whom I believe. That is in whom I have life. This kid did the right thing, and I'm proud of him. But salvation is only through Jesus Christ, not through a saint. I wanted to say those things, so those things made me think about it. The salvation is not through a saint. He was a man just like you and I, who believed stronger than Jesus Christ, and he was killed for it. It can happen to us, but I know for sure that in Christ Jesus, I have eternal life. And so that is my thoughts for today. I hope and pray that there was a blessing for you today, and that I did have a point there. I thank you.